Facial recognition technology is popping up everywhere these days. Taylor Swift reportedly used it recently to scan the faces of her fans at a concert in LA to make sure none of her stalkers was there. It was used this summer in Maryland to identify the shooter who killed 5 people at the Capital Gazette newspaper. We're seeing it used at airports. A man was arrested in August at Washington's Dulles Airport trying to enter the country on a fake passport. But facial recognition technology has also raised serious questions about privacy as more governments and police departments are using it. Joining us now is Gregory Allen from the Center for a New American Security. That's a think tank based in Washington. And Greg, what else can you tell us about how widespread this technology has become? Should we just assume that our faces are already in a database somewhere?
Well, facial recognition technology actually was born out of a security-type interest. The Department of Defense spent a lot of money to advance this technology in the early 1990s and then again in the early 2000s. They've been interested in it for a long time, but the technology has not really been ripe until more recently. So the FBI currently has a partnership with 16 states in the United States whereby they can access driver's license photos, and about half of the population in the United States currently lives in states or in cities that allow access to facial recognition technology on public records. So what that means is that if the police have a photo from a security camera and that is the suspect of someone believed to have committed a crime, they can then take the face in that photo and run it against their facial recognition database and see if they get a match from driver's license photos, from past mugshot photos. This is an increasingly commonplace technology that more and more police departments and government law enforcement agencies have access to.
Which is what happened in the Maryland case.
Exactly.
Yeah. It seems like we're getting to this point also that we can do real-time analysis of people's faces, not just going back into a database, but doing it in real time as cameras scan the landscape.
Yeah, exactly. And this technology is being most aggressively implemented in China. And a lot of the most interesting computer vision technology is also coming out of China. They have a lot of advanced companies in this area. So just this year, there was an instance of an individual who was wanted by the Chinese police who attended, coincidentally enough, a concert in China. There was 50,000 people in attendance at that concert. With facial recognition technology, Chinese police ID'd him as an individual in real time, and they arrested him on site.
I understand you've been to China recently.
Yes, I was just in China this month.
Have you noticed, when you're there, can you notice that this technology is being used?
It's shockingly ubiquitous. So I would say the facial recognition systems are tied intensively to payments. Most people in China do not carry cash anymore. You will even see, I had the experience of borrowing 10 yuan for the subway from a 70-year-old woman, and she did a phone-based payment, and she authorized it not with Touch ID, not with a passcode, but unlocking it with her face. That's what enabled her to loan me the subway money. That technology of facial recognition tied to payment systems. It's much more commonplace in China. That's also the case in office places, where instead of using a key card or a token to get into your office, there might just be a camera at the door that recognizes your face and opens up the gate for you. So they're extremely aggressive in making use of this technology, and it's showing, you know, benefits in the companies and the industries that they're setting up there.
China even has a program where cameras are recording jaywalkers crossing the street and publicly naming them and shaming them.
Yeah, this is the idea that, you know, shame is a really powerful enforcement. And so the fact that their facial recognition databases are hooked up to public sources of identification allows the law enforcement police cameras to see that not only someone is jaywalking, but that you are jaywalking. And then, you know, a message will display on a nearby sign, your name, jaywalkers will be prosecuted, you know, under the law. It's sort of analogous to a speeding ticket or a red light camera where it takes a photo of your license plate and automatically sends you a ticket. But now it's your face, not your license plate.
Maybe it doesn't matter in China, but how do the people feel about this?
I think there is a diversity of opinions. I think there are some folks who will say, you know, this harkens to a future in which it is impossible to commit a crime and get away with it, which is obviously something to look forward to. But the definition of a crime in China is quite different, right? Expressing the wrong political view can qualify as a crime. And so that's something that plenty of Chinese citizens are rightly worried about.
China has serious questions about human rights and individual freedoms, of course, in that
which
country.
Which is 100% a part of this story.
So let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. The technology is flawed. We know that. The technology, in fact, it's been proven. It has a hard time identifying people with darker skin.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that.
Well, I would say it a little bit differently. It is not the case that the technology inherently has a problem with darker skin, but it is a case that most of the data sets that this technology is training upon do not include adequate numbers of people with darker skin. And these systems, the quality of the data that you put in tends to determine the quality of the technology that you get out. So if your database is trained exclusively on, say, Chinese people, then it's going to perform quite poorly when it's trying to analyze an image of a person with darker skin. There is a cell phone company that is based in China that sells primarily to consumers in Africa. And that company has a facial recognition system that works extremely well when analyzing people of darker skin. So the key is not so much the technology inherently. It's what is the approach that the company adopts in implementing that technology, and do they take that as a real concern and something they need to work on?
Right. So you could see some potential challenges there. Also, I'm thinking if I were at that Taylor Swift concert recently, mm-hmm. I would be concerned that nobody told me that my face was being recorded and sent to a database somewhere. I mean, that's an issue.
Yeah, I would point out what's new in this illustration. If you just walk down the street in Boston, in New York, in London, you are going to be recorded by many, many security cameras. Some of them the possession of the local police force, most of them in possession of private companies who just have a security camera. So in society, we have really gotten used to the idea of being photographed constantly. What's new in facial recognition technology is that we're losing the anonymity that used to be associated with being recorded. So mm-hmm. it's not just that you walk past a 7-Eleven and the security camera notes that you're there. There's the possibility that the 7-Eleven will note that you specifically, as an individual, are there, and they know how many times you have passed by in the past few weeks. That's what's really changing in recent years, is the ability to analyze this data and correlate it and draw insights from it. It really does raise a whole host of new privacy concerns.
Google announced recently that it's going to hold off on AI facial recognition until it addresses some of these ethical concerns. Microsoft has asked the government to step in and to regulate it. Do you think we should trust these companies that they have our best interests?
Well, it's funny that Google says that, because there's plenty of Google products that already use facial recognition. So, for instance, Google owns a company called Nest, which makes a video internet-connected doorbell. And that has facial recognition technology. So it'll send you a text and say, hey, this person walked by your door today. And if you identify that person, it will say, you know, Bill walked by your door today.
Mm-hmm.
So companies are already making use of facial recognition and see a lot of potential for it. I do believe that there are areas that really deserve regulatory attention. So thinking back to those police databases that we were describing earlier, you know, what are the standards that allow a law enforcement officer to access those databases? Is it a standard of probable cause? Is it a standard of a judge's warrant? Is it a standard of the officer's discretion? These are decisions that have to be made. And at the moment, they're being made on a jurisdiction-by-jurisdiction basis.
Mm-hmm.
And in some areas, there's probably excessive discretion being used as we're implementing these new technologies. So these are the issues we really need to be wrestling with now.
Which makes me wonder if a decade from now, or even sooner, we will be like China is today.
Yeah, and we didn't talk about it, but at the same time that China is pursuing incredibly aggressive implementation of facial recognition technology for commercial purposes, its security services and its domestic police forces are really some of the largest consumers in the world of this technology, and that includes in provinces in Western China, where there really is a widespread program of detaining individuals of a minority community.
The Uyghurs.
Exactly, yep. And this technology is really instrumental in their ability to control that aspect of society, and it's something that China would love to export worldwide.
Gregory Allen is an adjunct fellow at the Center for a New American Security. Greg, thank you.
Thank you.